morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report for September 2020. We appreciate you joining in today and joining us for a monthly conversation. This conversation is intended to help you buy in bulk and save money. And I'm your host today, Jake Nieder. With us today will be some of our usual members of the call. We'll have Brian Henry from ADM Benson Quinn Commodities and BK Morris from CRU Publications. And so today, because it's probably the most exciting part, we're going to ask Brian to give us a little bit of an update on what's going on in the grain market, because that's been a little bit more awake than the fertilizer market has. So Brian, why don't you go ahead?
Good morning, everyone. Pleasure to be with you. As you guys have noticed since the last time we got together, it sure feels like the tone tenor in these markets has changed. Primarily corn and beans, wheat still kind of stubborn market that kind of rallies reluctantly. But from the corn and bean side, and having watched this every day, and having watched order flow, dollar transactions and such, these two markets, especially the beans, but potentially in corn, sure feel like it's a new type of market. In terms of where we typically will trade your typical demand market, or in times of concern about a crop, which we've had a little bit of this year, you'll trade kind of a supply-based market. But the current market, to me, and this is still developing, feels like a demand bull market. And that's a kind of a little different beast than what we typically have dealt with. I looked back and kind of remembered back as far as I could, which is about 2008, and determined that, that's really the last time we saw the true colors of a demand bull market. And what I'm referring to in terms of this is both corn and beans, we've seen some concern about production. But I think everyone would agree, though we've had some dryness issues in Iowa, we had a terrible storm that caused a fair amount of damage. We've had some other issues in certain areas that have developed. What we're really dealing with here is the amount in, I guess I'd just call it sheer demand in terms of both beans and in a lot of cases corn. And so much of that demand is coming from China that it just feels like we've got a little different type of market, a type of market where the technical inputs don't tend to have the same influence. For instance, you can take your RSI calculations well above 70, and markets can be overbought, and they don't respond in the same nature. Another technical term that most of you probably haven't dealt a whole bunch with, but you have stochastics last week in beans turned lower twice, and the market followed it with higher trade. And I'm not here to say that these markets cannot correct, because I really kind of feel like a correction right in near these levels at this point of the year with harvest just right in its infancy would probably be a really good spot for some type of correction. But ultimately, it feels like if the markets are willing to correct, it feels like they'll have an opportunity to come back to these levels with demand being a primary component. We've seen massive amounts of beans bought by the Chinese, basically record amounts of corn bought by the Chinese. We're seeing some other demand come in here and fill in where there may be some voids. We've seen a little bit of an uptick in meal demand from the globe, and that is partly attributed to the fact that South America is Brazil's gotten pretty tight on beans, and Argentina maybe not having the best opportunity here to satisfy orders and may not be as good a trading partner from a meal standpoint as they've been at times in the past. So I think there's a real reason to find some optimism here, and I wouldn't tell anyone that they can't do any selling at these values, simply because if you look at these values compared to where we were 5-6 weeks ago, certainly values that need to be taken advantage of to some extent. But yet it also feels to me like we can be in a situation where the breaks are relatively shallow. Markets have a tendency to trigger demand and trigger some higher price action. So I find that as optimistic here going forward. A couple of the key factors here right now, we do have a pretty significant WASDE report coming out on Friday, and that has the potential to throw a few curveballs at this market that maybe people scratch their head regarding some of this stuff early in the season. But at the end of the day, we're kind of going to get our first real look at some boots on the ground type analysis by the government in terms of where they think production is. I would note on this report, in terms of beans, the Gov does do a pod count on this report. In all the reports and the little bit I've seen from being in fields, everybody will tell you there's pods, to be sure. But we're not entirely sure, given this poor finishing weather, just what we ended up with in terms of how those pods developed. So we've got a pretty significant report Friday. From a bean standpoint, you're kind of the trade. You know, at one time, people were thinking, well, it's 54 bushel an acre plus. Now you're kind of seeing a range of 50 and a half to maybe 52 and a half. Production kind of between 4.2, 4.3 billion bushels. Absolutely a good crop, just perhaps not what was once anticipated. And then you turn around and you catch the type of demand that we've caught that I think some people anticipated, but everyone's real happy to see. From a corn standpoint, you know, there was a point where we were looking at maybe a yield of 184 plus a record, and now you're probably maybe the low side. People look for 76, which is probably a touch light. High side, you're kind of 179.5. You've got a situation here where we were looking for production in corn early in the season at 16 billion bushels, carry out in the neighborhood of 3.5 billion. Now you're probably closer to a crop of maybe a 14.8, outside chance of a 15 billion bushel crop. A lot of the trade expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of 14.9 billion bushels in terms of production. But I believe the key to it is you've got an ending stocks estimate. Friday they expect about 2.4 billion. And based on some of the demand that we've seen to this point and some of the demand that we anticipate going forward, you may be able to narrow that up as tight as the current year carryout of, 2.2, 2.25. So we're going to have to continue to see this demand, and I believe we have an opportunity to do so. But it sure, with both the price rally as well as the fact that markets are firm from a technical standpoint, we continue to find some demand, it just sure offers a lot more optimism and makes it an awful lot easier for myself and Jake and BK to talk to you about stuff of this nature. So there's a few things we're going to have to watch. Dollar appears poised for a little bit of a correction to the upside. That could be kind of a defensive factor. Funds, they have added a lot of length in beans and have added some length in corn. And anytime you get into that situation, you're poised for maybe a bit of a correction. And then, of course, when you get to Friday's report, and if you think back to some of the initial reports, one of the things that comes to mind was, an awful lot of people scratch their head and wondered what had happened to maybe 3 or 4 million acres of the normal acreage pie, and perhaps down the stretch we start to see more evidence of what happened to that, and perhaps it did get planted. But at a minimum, it feels like there's some opportunity at these values, and feels like corrections could be followed by pushes at least back towards these levels. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jake.
Thanks, Brian. Good opportunity for someone to look to take profits or to lock in profits at this time is kind of what I hear you saying. So thanks for that update. BK, if you're with us, if you could unmute your line and give us an update on what you're seeing in the world fertilizer market and kind of the trends you're picking up on.
Good morning, everybody. This is BK with Fertilizer Week. And I'll start with urea. Basically, the U.S. has gone from being outside the international market by about $40 by arguably being outside the international market by $50 a metric ton. We based it on a comparison of what exporters from the Middle East can get for granular urea pretty much anywhere else in the world versus what they can get if they load from the U.S. What that means is that, as is frankly pretty common in recent months, the only cargoes we are expecting to arrive in the U.S. from the Middle East are the programmed cargoes from SABIC and from Qatar. We're not in a position to import spot cargoes from them. We're not really. Also, the similar spreads exist between the potential for U.S. supply from Egypt, Algeria, or Nigeria. We're simply too cheap. The only exception to that is probably Trinidad, but that's hardly enough to make up for the others. So where are we? The U.S. needs about 1.4 million more metric tons of urea, certainly to get through the fall and first part of the spring season. The good news is that the U.S. can actually wait until Q1 to buy a great deal of that. At this point, even if they were to start loading like crazy, a lot of it wouldn't get here in time. It would sit behind the upper river as maintenance work is done as usual after river close begins. So that 1.4 million is a short, but the fact is there is still a great deal of time available to cover that. In the meantime, urea prices are quite, competitive in the U.S. In terms of what end users are seeing. How much of that you're going to lock in is going to be, you're going to get advice on that from Jake, of course. What I will give you, just to keep in mind, is that the rest of the world is the reason the prices are high. It's not so much that the U.S. is too low entirely. It's that the rest of the world is buying pretty heavily. India bought almost 1.8 million tons in its most recent tender. That was a lot more than expected. It's good in the sense that it means more of the expected demand is covered. But India also needs to obtain a further 3.2 million tons of urea, get that locked up by the end of the calendar year, according to Fertilizer Week's perspective. That will keep upward pressure and supportive or upward pressure on the market there. Brazil needs, according to, again, our forecast, almost another 2.5 million metric tons of urea to arrive by the end of December. So the short version of it is, there may be relief in Q1, but we don't see any relief before then. So it's a matter of, how comfortable, people in this market are going to be sitting on their hands, waiting for, and hoping for lower prices and more barges to arrive that way. I'll spend just a minute or two here on ammonia. As I'm sure most of you are aware, we had a $7 increase in the Tampa benchmark for the September price. That sounds like that's not a great deal of money, given where we've been sitting for, we sat at the same price for 3 or 4 months. That only brings it up to $212 a metric ton. We do expect a further $10 increase, that's the Fertilizer Week's forecast, in October. And the thing to bear in mind there is that there is a certain amount of direction that Tampa does provide to some of the Corn Belt market. There are contracts and supply deals that some folks have that do include a Tampa component in them. Because of that, right now it looks to us like not only will we see the price of a further price increase in Tampa, but we think these price increases will lead to higher prices in the Midwest. When that will come through, I don't know right now. In terms of UAN market, we're a long way from needing that. But the good news to some extent there is that prices in the U.S. are so low that on the one hand, it's keeping a lot of imports out. On the other hand, that problem can be solved. What we are expecting to see is the divide we often see in the U.S. market as we head into the first and second quarters, where the price of NOLA is actually quite low relative to the cost of UAN in the Midwest sometimes, and we'll have to see how that eventually converges. The big issue in this marketplace remains DAP and MAP. I'm sure most of you read that the preliminary determination, assuming they do impose tariffs on phosphate products arriving from Morocco and Russia, they being the U.S. government, has been delayed until November 23. This was expected. It's very rare that you have one of these cases where you don't get an extension. It's usually agreed to by all the parties, and in this case it was. Nobody objected to it. The Department of Commerce had no choice but to grant the extension. That's written into the regulatory language. If somebody asked for it, Mosaic, in this case, asked for it. Morocco probably would have if Mosaic had not. But this simply means that if you're looking for a resolution one way or the other before November, it's not going to be there. And, of course, they still have to make a final determination. And just to put that in perspective, in November, a preliminary determination will provide what the Department of Commerce believes tariffs probably should be. Now, that doesn't mean they have to be draconian tariffs. It doesn't mean that they would necessarily be so bad that it would prevent Moroccan or Russian product from coming in. On the other hand, that's exactly what could happen. So it is still up in the air. The worst issue, I think, for U.S. end users is that further clarity is not going to arrive to just about Thanksgiving. So the U.S. marketplace is left dealing with the prices we see in front of us right now. Do we see possibilities of a further higher prices in the U.S. In the coming months? We do actually see sort of a flat market at NOLA this month and next month. We actually, even no matter which way the decision goes, we actually do see room for lower prices in November, big deal, and December, big deal. Can't get a barge up the river. So you can be fairly confident that if the decision includes high tariffs on one or more of the parties involved in this, that come river open, MAP will probably still be essentially unavailable from overseas other than a few spot cargoes. DAP in Q1 there should be more available product in Q1. The U.S. price is very high to other suppliers, and there are a lot more suppliers of DAP overseas than there are MAP. So the high price in the U.S., which was not able to obtain as many spot cargoes as one might have hoped, in Q3, and as we're now heading for Q4, the U.S. will now be able to compete for more product that has not been sold up to this point. And so we do expect to see some of the lost imports made up at that point, presumably in place to move upriver in March. But the fact is, and I don't want to overstate this, but I don't want to understate it, the likelihood that the U.S. is in a position to make up for all of the lost imports is very on a P2O5 basis, whether you call it DAP, MAP, and in some cases, I think we're going to see, I still believe we'll see a little more triple coming into the U.S. The ability to make that up is going to be very difficult, and we're probably going to be net short of what demand will be based on an acreage basis. I hope I haven't jumped back and forth too far, and I will stay on the call if any questions show up. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for the update, BK. I appreciate it. So, folks, we're getting towards the tail end of it here, and I kind of want to give some recommendations. Again, we're going to skip the month of October because I know that most of you are going to be very focused on harvest, and that's a key execution point for you. So we fully respect that, and we're here to provide that information. You're welcome to reach out to your local ADM grain merchandiser. They will get your questions into us. We'll definitely respond back to them. So please know we're still here to support you if you have questions. But during that time, we're gonna push our next call back to November 18th. So what are our recommendations? What are we seeing? What are we thinking? As a team, we've talked about this. We think there could be a little bit of downside in urea when you get into December and January, but we need to clarify that. We think that downside's around $5 or $10. And BK pointed out where we're trading, where the global market's trading at. We're trading now a $30 discount to the global market. And so when you put that in perspective, a $5-$10 downside with a $30 potential upside, you know my recommendation is going to be long biased on nitrogen. And that is for anything you would use for the fall, of course, but also in staging and preparation for your application for this coming spring. So our recommendation is that you have your nitrogen needs covered, whether it's UAN, urea, that you have looked to forward buy your urea nitrogen. Now, if we're wrong, we're not going to be wrong by much because you start to run into some cost of production that is going on over in China. When you look at those cost stacks, one would make an argument that we floor out again, a pretty hard floor, as we get to $200 NOLA. That would be kind of what I would call a very downside case scenario for the marketplace. And I put low probability on that happening as we see the facts lay out today. So again, on nitrogen, recommendation is to be covered for your spring needs. I may keep some top dress open. So I'm more of a 75% covered, 25% open is the way I'm looking. I would be looking to be covered if I were in your shoes for the coming nitrogen cycle in 2021. In regards to phosphates, BK did lay out a very good point. DAP is more readily available than MAP. So MAP users, pay attention. Your chance to buy was 4 months ago when we told you this was going on. You've missed it. The market's up. It's going to be high. If you find a deal shopping around amongst your local co-ops, take it. We do not expect much of a correction in MAP pricing because there is a very difficult time finding global MAP. Even though one could argue late fourth quarter, early first quarter MAP prices should soften because of the winter markets, that's typically when Australia consumes a large amount of MAP and where your producers from Mexico and Australia beyond Morocco and Russia are shipping their tons too. So if we can't get Russian and Moroccan tons, MAP pricing is going to be very much disconnected to DAP. So what do we see on DAP? DAP, we do have other markets we can go source from. And I would say that from today's market, the 360 NOLA to the downside would be around a 335 to 340 NOLA. So we're looking at probably a $20 correction as we get into December, January, February. Now, BK mentioned fourth quarter. One thing I want to point out is even though we could get a DAP barge here by the end of November, it's not going to get to the terminal till December. You're not going to see that price correction in the marketplace till after fall application. So the prices that you see today are going to be probably the best prices you see. As BK pointed out, we agree with that. We believe that the phosphate market is tight for this fall and that prices will continue to rise for this fall, especially as we get to the application window. If we're having an early harvest, like everyone's rumoring about that we're going to have an early harvest, that means a wider phosphate application window, and typically phosphate inventories are depleted quicker. Now, that could be completely subjectional. That's our opinion today on how that prompt market's going to trade. Still, though, even at a 335 DAP NOLA for the first quarter and second quarter of 2021, those prices are much higher than where we originally started recommending back in the 270s that you look to get coverage. So what would we do? If you've not bought and you're going to be a spring applier, I would wait for that price correction. I would look to forward buy off our forward prices. I would lock that in because there is still potential upside as the duty situation will not resolve itself in a quick fashion. The likelihood of this getting resolved in February and March is relatively high, and that means you're going to be staged and positioned for the U.S. spring season prior to knowing how the duty situation shapes out. So that's our current recommendation on phosphates. I'd be covered at least 50% for the spring season. In regards to, these recommendations are both U.S. and Canada. I would say in Canada, we see that the MAP market going to get worse before it gets better, and we're going to see that market rise even further in Canadian prices as we go into those winter months as they look to do their normal domestic fill up there. In regards to potash has really been stable. We had a slight uptick of maybe about $5 in the marketplace as we had geopolitical issues. And that was in regards to the Belarusian supply. There were some boats that were canceled coming to the North American market because there was some instability in the local government there. That's something I would keep an eye on because it is a large chunk of world production. BK would be better at saying what the stat is, but it's a decent amount that it would affect price if Belarusia was not exporting potash into the global market. So one thing we watch there is for that potentially to shape global pricing and supply. Our belief is that potash is readily available, that we should have a normal fall. We shouldn't see much of a price uptick, but we do not expect a price decrease for the spring. We're cheaper than the world markets. We aren't overly supplied. Provided we have a normal weather window, we would not expect a decrease for the spring market right now. So we would look at being covered maybe around that 50% mark for spring potash of 2021. In regards to ammonium sulfate, that product's been a little bit of a sleeper. We expect that product to firm up as we get into January, February. We continue to expect that product to be a bit of a sleeper for the coming months. All in all, the buying forward has really panned out this year. If you've had a chance to participate and to look at those recommendations, I think a lot of growers have saved money in how they have locked in those forward prices relative to shopping today in today's market for them. So with that, we want to thank you for your time. We hope you have a very safe harvest, and we look forward to seeing you again on November 18th for the ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report. We wish you a great harvest. We'll go ahead and unmute the line, and if there are any questions, you'll need to hit *6 to be able to be heard for your question.
I had a quick question. You didn't spend a lot of time talking about AMS or ammonium sulfate. Can you maybe just expand a little bit on your thoughts there? You said you anticipated pricing would be firm or stay firm, maybe trending firmer in the next few months. If you could just expand upon that just a bit.
Yeah, let me touch base on that one a little bit more. I don't see anything driving that supply tighter right now, Vince. I expect the prices to not decrease because the international market has a healthy demand for it. Right now, we're at a slight discount to the international market. So I don't see a tremendous amount of tons being pushed here from Russia or Europe at the moment. And ultimately, we've seen some decreased production in North America. Normally, ammonium sulfate's a sleeper product until we get to the springtime, and that's usually when it has a bit of an upside in it in pricing. So of all the products that we're making recommendations on, that's one that I'm not overly zealous you need to get booked today. I'd love to tell you that, hey, prices are going to go up because they will, but that's not until springtime. So that's one of the few products I think you have time on in making your decision on ammonium sulfate. If I were to recommend looking forward, I would definitely do it on the phosphates and on the nitrogen and tell you to wait on the ammonium sulfate if you're going to commit cash.
Thanks, Jake. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate your time.